Chapman, Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, we'll hear from Albert Breer coming up at 9:35. His thoughts about the Bears in the NFL. But we got some open phone lines for you. Love for you to jump in here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Well, Cap, here we are. 10 or 11 games into the season, and I've already got angst. You got agin up with the White Sox. Here in the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000, of course.
Agin is not fun.
Yeah. Well, that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling a little bit, I don't know. It's just, you're 5-6, okay, if you're the White Sox. But it's not about the losses, Cap. It's about how the storyline over the years with the White Sox have been injuries. Mm-hmm. Now, you cited for us, there's teams that have been way more banged up than the White Sox.
Correct.
But all I can speak for is my favorite team. And when I see Moncada and Anderson and Joe Kelly, of all people, Joe Kelly, I'm going to go out and protect my teammates, and I'm going to hurt my groin just doing a light jog. And Aloy being hurt. I mean, the second verse, same as the first. You don't want that for the White Sox. And again, all these guys could be all healthy and everything could work by the time we get to July, August, and moving forward. You just don't want to start the season that way. That's all.
Correct.
Because you've seen it before. It's a horror movie if you're a Sox fan. Aloy being down. Okay. Moncada again? Again.
I mean, it's literally insane. It's literally insane.
So let me get this straight. You guys already start piecemealing the team together. You got Jake Berger, who's never played first base before. Thank God he made a terrific play over at first base. Actually, a game saver for him over at first. But I mean, just...
You mean the one where he got knocked down?
Yeah.
And he got to his feet quick. That guy at third could have raced home.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, Berger's not even a first baseman, but you're already through 11 games trying to figure, okay, we don't have Moncada, so we'll bring in this Alberto.
Hanser Alberto, who made an error, but then hit a big three-run home run to win the ball game. And then Lenin Sosa's getting recalled. James Fegan tweeted this at midnight last night. Like, I got up to let one of the dogs. I'm like, oh, yeah. Guess TA must be hurt worse than we thought. Somebody is.
You know how much that sucks, though?
Yes.
I mean, they showed the graphic on NBC Sports Chicago about when Tim Anderson in the lineup, what the White Sox do. I mean, they are just... It's just a wildly entertaining, productive team when Anderson is on the field. He makes that much of a difference. And I know that seems like it's an overstatement, but again, you look at those numbers. The numbers when you're like 20, 30 games over 500 in a lot of games that Anderson's been in and the Sox win those games, that's because he's a straw that stirs the drink for the team. Yeah, I don't know. And then the whole thing, that play that Anderson got hurt on, Sox up 4-1, that game's in the bottom of the fourth. And just in with runners in scoring position, what is the third baseman supposed to do, Alberto, in that spot? Just throw it to second base, right? The runner's barreling down from second to third on him. And so you still try to complete the double play, no matter if the runner is coming at you at third base, correct?
Correct.
You saw this, right?
I did. The TA thing, it kind of looked like non-contact, didn't it?
I mean, it was enough that it got hurt on the play. Runner Alberto's guy just got to throw it to second base. And why does Andrews not throw it to first? I don't know. On that double play. Then Anderson, then the ball is pitched to Anderson, and he gets run over.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he got hit when he hurt the knee.
Yeah, it ran right over the leg. And
but
ankle.
He was bent awkwardly prior to it. So did he hurt it? Like, yeah. I mean,
Cap, the fear here is that he didn't get hit, and then it's non-contact, right?
That's my fear. Yeah. That he had already hurt it. The leg, the left leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is bent awkwardly under him. He does get clipped after that. But boy!
But again. Piss poor defense, though, again, by the White Sox.
Correct.
But why is Andrews not throwing to first base?
I don't know. Unless, was he not going to be able to get the guy?
I mean, the play is in front of you, though, Cap. I mean, the awkward throw from second to third in that situation. My point is, if Andrews throws it to first, Anderson is still healthy.
You don't get the out, but you didn't get the out anyway.
Well, right. I would rather have first and third and a healthy Anderson.
And there was, what, one out at that time?
I'd rather have first and third with a healthy Anderson than that nonsense yesterday.
Yeah, except you don't know that he's going to get hurt there. You don't. You're just reacting. You are reacting because you know you're outcome-based.
Yeah.
When they throw to second and he looks and goes, I can nail that guy at third. Last night in the Cubs game, they hit a ball to Dansby Swanson, and the moron on second for the Rangers in a tight ball game takes off for third, and Swanson nails him.
Yes. But my point, though, Cap, as a Sox fan, you get tired of the poor defense by the Sox.
Well, they were a bad defensive team a year ago.
Let me just tell you something else about this. This is all a mess because if you're going to have a rundown between second and third, where's Cease in that spot? He's coming over late at third base. You're expecting Anderson to somehow backtrack to get to third base. Where's Cease in that spot?
Yeah, Cease, you could see him finally come running in.
See what I mean?
Correct.
Ugh.
It's just poorly executed fundamentally.
But that has been, you know, typical of White Sox baseball. Sloppy defensive baseball.
Correct.
And then the average fan that's listening to the show will say, well, don't they work on that? No, yeah. Not enough.
But I think they work on it a ton. Sometimes you just have a team that's not good defensively. I will tell you one of the good things, Oscar Colas looks the part. I think he's a big leaguer. He looks really good.
I think so too. Just the idea that Alberto's trying to flip it to Anderson, who's nowhere near third base.
Well, the throw was horrible. Look where now he is diving as he throws it. I get it. But the throw is at his hand side, not his glove side. So he's got to reach awkwardly. His leg is bent awkwardly. I don't know if the knee got injured as the base runner's diving to third. He clips him in the left knee, or if the left knee had already been injured non-contact. It's tough to tell.
You know, I don't like that.
Agreed?
I don't like it. As you always say, hey, there's always going to be the, you know, plays, it's a physical situation, or hey, a mental breakdown. It shouldn't happen all the time, though.
Agreed.
There's four or five things wrong with that one play.
Like, people are outraged. What is Mastroboni doing in right field? Or Mancini? Our starting right fielder's going to join the club, it looks like, Friday in L.A. Talking about Seiya Suzuki.
Sure.
Yes, I would love for Mastroboni to be a better right fielder and have dove the other day. He dove last night, still didn't make the play.
He's a backup.
He's a backup for a reason. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like Nick Madrigal, okay, he had a big steal last night, scored the game-winning run. At this point, I'm ready to have him give his patellar tendon to Mallory Swanson, Dansby's wife. Hey, can we just have your patellar tendon? We can help her out with Team USA. Like, he's not that good. You called that one.
So what are we going to do about this Sox outfit here, all these injuries? I mean, we're not even at April 15th yet.
We're going to find out later today, is he coming up? I'm talking about Lenin Sosa for Moncada, who has a back.
Mm-hmm.
Is he coming up for T.A., who has a knee? How serious the knee is with T.A.? Like, if he's sidelined for a long time, you're very fortunate that you have Elvis Andrews, who can slide over to his natural position and play short. But still, that's a massive blow.
Or is it for Joe Kelly, who can't even just do a simple jog out to the mound to try to break up a fight? Hamstring?
Was it groin? Hamstring? What is it?
Well, connected. It's all connected. If the Sox didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck at all.
Crazy.
So, what? I mean, 5-6 doesn't mean that's the end of the season, Cap. But again, if you're a Sox fan, it's a nightmare because you've seen this over and over again.
Yeah.
312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Troy in Homewood on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Troy.
How are you guys doing?
You know I'm aggravated.
Great show. Listen to you guys all the time. Hey, that on this, I think it's
the end of the season. Turn the radio down, Troy.
You got to turn the radio down, kid.
I'm sorry about that.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I usually agree with you guys about 80% of the time. This time, I think you're wrong, Hood. He should have ran him back towards third. He should not have went to first.
Who is he?
The guy was the third baseman. He was at least 20 feet from third. It was an easy out. All he had to do was run towards him, like they teach you in Little League,
yep.
Flip the ball, the guy's out. That's all he had to do. So I got to disagree with you on the defensive prowess this year, because they made a point to say that there was only five errors going into the 11th game, which was second in the MLB this year.
The team has been poor defensively for a while here. You can read me all the stats from 2023. I'm telling you, one of the reasons that holds the Sox back is injuries and ineptitude defensively. They are not a solid enough team. It's something that Pedro Grifol and Rick Hahn have talked about, that this team's got to be better defensively. You can give me those
That's
stats.
But
you give
this me, is the new year.
Okay. Well, well,
this
I'm
this is new year.
Okay.
Don't know about what happened last year.
Oh.
Only right now they're second in the MLB in error.
You know, Troy, I'm with you. I just said this to Hoodie. I get your frustration that TA got hurt on that play, but if the throw is decent, that guy's out.
He's out. He's way out.
Way
he's
out by 5 feet. Yes, he's out.
Was the runner going to third?
He's dead.
Yeah, who's covering that spot? It wasn't Anderson. He was nowhere around third base to make that play.
Well, if Anderson catches that ball, if the throw is on the other side of him where his glove is, where it should be, catch, tag, out. That's
easily. Easy.
Not even close.
He's out of position, and he should have ran him back towards third base.
Your frustration, which I understand, is outcome-based. Bad throw, error, and the guy got hurt.
What else do I have to go on? I'm watching the game. Of course, it's going to be outcome-based. You see what happened there? It's brutal.
But last night, I'm watching Swanson turn, fire to third. Got him. Great play. If he throws it in the dirt and it bounces away, dude, what are you doing? Take the easy out. That's what people would say.
Yeah.
It's outcome-based. If he makes the throw and TA catches it, tags him out, you would say, boy, what a play by Hanser, Alberto, and T.A. It went completely haywire, and you're angry.
Yeah, well, there's a reason. It's because I've seen it over and over again. And you get tired of it after a while.
I get it.
I mean, there's no cease at third base to cover. Anderson's out of position. Okay, I mean, if nothing else, I've seen the same play where you just complete the double play, no matter if the runner is barreling down on you to go into third base. I've seen it that way also.
See, if Tony was still the manager, you know what people be saying this morning? Poor fundamentals. What is Tony doing? This is not on Pedro. That was the players making a poor play.
Yeah. I get it.
Poor play. But if Hanser Alberto gets the flip, TA makes the tag, oh, man, heads up play. Got him.
But that's not what happened.
It's not.
And as long as I'm here, Troy, I'll talk about what the Sox need to work on for 2023. You can read me all the stats through 11 games if you care to. That's fine. I'll talk about what's real, and that is that the Sox have to be much better defensively. Do they have enough offense? Yes. Starting pitching should be better? Yes. But again, 4 and 5 out innings just won't do. Just won't do. You have to be a cleaner team defensively, period. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Here come the Cubs. A terrific game against Seattle. We'll tell you why the Cubs are turning things around over at Clark and Addison. We'll get to that and more of your phone calls next on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap'n Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today on this Tuesday morning. The Cubs are on their way to what, though? They're 5-4, beating a good Seattle team yesterday in walk-off fashion, thanks to Nico Hoerner.
2 of 3 from the Rangers. Right, Nico Horner's first career walk-off. He got the ice bath, a double dose of it, when he was with Taylor McGregor from Marquee. She's jumping back, trying not to get wet. I get it. I've been there. It's cool. He was so excited. And they got the new lights in, the LED lights. $3 million to put new lights in at Wrigley. Oh, my goodness, was it bright there.
David Ross talking about Nico Hoerner. He was in 3 for 5 with an RBI, the game-winning RBI for the Cubs yesterday.
I was not aware of that, no, so that's great. Good timing. Good. That was great. That's good timing. I mean, that's just a good win. I think when you fight that hard. I mean, the guy they got on the mound today, Castillo, is really good. So to have the quality of bats there, Belly really good at bat, push across that first one, Happer being able to steal a big bag for us, and then Haas coming up, you know, with another knock and pushing a couple across there on a really good pitcher was nice, and our bullpen held it down. I thought Drew threw the ball phenomenal tonight. Bullpen did a really nice job right there till one big swing off Fulmer. But, you know, it's a well-fought, hard baseball game. We come out ahead. That's a really nice win.
Yeah, Rossi didn't know that was his first walk-off hit, and it was for Nico Hoerner, 3-for-5 yesterday. There's a couple of things from this game I want to talk to you about. First, I mentioned to you at opening day when we were at Old Crow Smokehouse, I asked you, I said, Cap, don't you think that Boxberger should be the closer until you find out who you want? And Boxberger still has been a setup guy.
So Boxberger...
And Fulmer was in that spot yesterday.
Yeah, and he's been good. Mm-hmm. He's been really solid. Look, Kelenic, that guy's a really good young prospect. I mean, he's in the big leagues now. They predict that he's going to be a really good player. That ball he hit, I think it hit the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
It was crushed. And the Cubs were able to extricate themselves in the 10th from a bases-loaded situation. And then in the bottom of the 10th, Madrigal with a huge steal. And then Nico Hoerner's game-winning heroics. It was a really good victory.
So, to answer my question, you'd rather have Fulmer in that spot over Boxberger? Is that your...
I'd go by matchup. Committee? I don't think they have a closer. Like you guys, when Liam Hendricks is healthy, mm-hmm. it's such good news that he's cancer-free. Mm. He's the closer. When he says, I'm healthy, I can do this again, here you go. You have Ronaldo Lopez. He's done a really nice job.
Yeah. He closed the door yesterday.
The Cubs don't have a guy, in my opinion, at this point.
Boxberger or Keegan Thompson. Fulmer was able to, he blew it yesterday, but you know, at some point, if you're good, you get close to the deadline, you want to probably find one, right?
Correct.
Get yourself a veteran closer.
If you're in the race.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the, like the 2016 team, they had Hector Rondon.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Hector?
Yes.
Yeah. And they went out and got Aroldis Chapman, game, set, match, it's over. They win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where this team is today on April the 11th.
But they're plucky, though.
They're plucky.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a large margin of error because they don't have a lot of thump throughout the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, Cody Bellinger comes up with a big double. Then Hosmer, who lifetime against Luis Castillo was very, very good. He comes up with a big hit, and all of a sudden you got a 2-1 lead. You give it up in the ninth, and you come back and find a way to win.
You know, our mutual friend Connie Kowal was telling me the story a couple of weeks ago regarding 8888 when the lights came on at Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, kids, there was a time where the Cubs only played day baseball, either 120 or 305. And so the lights came on, and when they hit the plunger, when the guy says, let there be light, and the lights came on, I said, well, that's not impressive. Even on the non-HD TV, I said, boy, there's still shadows all over the outfield.
Correct.
It's good for the Cubs to have lights. And I know the people in Wrigleyville did not like it. They still had the placards up in the window. No lights at Wrigley Field. They wanted no lights because they didn't want no night games.
Citizens United for Baseball and Sunshine. Give it up.
I think for the first time since the Cubs put in lights in 88, this actually looks good. The new lights that they put in.
Those lights are awesome. And the players have talked about, geez, you can really see the ball now. I had outfielders when I was doing the games there telling me, you can't imagine, you're looking at it, you lose it in the darkness late in a ball game, and you just, I think it's right there. All right, here it comes. It was not easy.
Yeah, but it's been since 88. You would think those lights would have been much more improved.
Correct.
Now it's the more modern lights. You see this on football stadiums, baseball stadiums. Where you got the lights that go on, the strobe lights that go on and off, and it turned a certain way. I mean, I've never seen Wrigley, again, this is just based on my television, never seen Wrigley look that good.
And they did a light show when the game ended. The lights are flashing like strobe lights. Yes. Like it was like, hey, party time.
Did you see what they did with the lights at the end when
made
they
it
put
a
the
w.
W's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Sacramento Kings had their light the beam.
Yeah.
We have it now in Chicago. Light the W. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think it's fine. I find it interesting the Cubs are so far behind with this, though. I mean, it's the Cubs. Put some lights in there, and not even for the opposition, for your own team, so you could see in there.
Now they have, finally.
It's 2023.
Yeah. It wasn't just changing the bulbs. A friend of mine said, they changed the bulbs? $3 million is not changing the bulbs.
No.
Did you? It's like a whole new lighting system.
Did you tell them no?
I told them that. I'm like, dude, $3 million. That's not just a few bulbs at the Home Depot or Lowe's.
Hey, Cap, I can see in there now. Did they change the light bulbs in there?
They did.
It's not like in your closet.
Correct. By the way, kitchen. I have a trivia question for you.
Oh, boy.
If we ended the season today, who has the worst record in the National League?
I have not looked at the standings. I usually don't look at them until Memorial Day. So what is it?
That'd be the Cardinals.
Oh, Contreras' Cardinals?
Wilson's Cardinals are 3-7. Dead last. Dead freaking last in the National League. Oh, that is so special.
Through the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, it's early. Mm-hmm. They may end up, they're 3-7. They could end up 155-7. Today, doing this show with you, they're in dead last.
And the Reds are better.
Correct.
312-332-3776 our phone number. So what does this mean, the way the Cubs are playing right now? It looks good. Again, we always talk about personnel and we talk about game changers. There's a few on this Cubs team, but again, you compare them to say the Brewers or the Braves. I've seen a little bit too much Braves baseball lately, by the way. I've seen them play four times already this season. They're on too much.
They're good.
So how do you compare them to everyone else? That's the thing. You're waiting to the deadline to see where they are, aren't you?
I'm waiting till like July 1, and let's see where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
If they're significantly under or over 500, I think your path is picked for you. I want to see if Cody Bellinger is he a piece you're keeping? Is he a one-year guy and you're letting him go? Are you trading him at the deadline? Is he Jason Hayward part two and puts up feeble numbers? He looks much more impactful to me than Jason Hayward did here.
I heard you coming in this morning saying that you love the pitch clock.
Love the pitch clock.
You said the pitch clock. Is it because the games are moving faster now for you? Or
that, and I think the fans are getting involved. I'm watching the White Sox game yesterday, and somebody tweeted this, so it's not my idea, but they're right. And I'm not going to go back on Twitter and find it, but there should be a baseball afternoon game every single day during the week. It's awesome to come home and have an afternoon game to watch. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. And yesterday in the White Sox game, Shay, I think you saw this. The crowd is chanting, counting down the pitch clock. Ronaldo Lopez is getting down to like 1 second. And they're counting at 4, 3. It was awesome.
I think that's fantastic.
So do I.
Any way to heckle the pitcher. Remember when that viral moment when Johnny Cueto was on the mound for the Pirates years ago, or maybe for the Reds, and he was playing the Pirates in a wild card game, and the fans were chanting his name.
Yep.
That was an awesome moment. Imagine a playoff atmosphere, every fan in the building counting down the pitch clock.
Right. You're like, oh, God, I got to hustle. Bam, base hit. Yeah.
It's because fans are perceptive. They can see, like, boy, this guy's taking it all the way to the nub, all the way to the end. Okay, we're going to start putting some... And it gets fan involvement, which is cool.
Grandal deserves a gold star because in that ninth, you're up one run. And he sees the pitch clock is down 5, 4, 3. And Lopez isn't even ready to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 2-2 count. It would have been an automatic ball if it's a violation. So all of a sudden, now he's got to make a perfect pitch on 3-2. If he doesn't and he walks the guy, now the winning run's at the plate. Home run's a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
And ground up. Timeout.
Yep.
You get that timeout. And that was a really astute play.
Just being aware of what's going on.
Being locked in mentally.
Even if Lopez does not.
Yes, correct.
That's what the catcher's there for, because he's the captain of the team.
So, yeah, I like the pitch clock.
All right, coming up, we will talk Bears and NFL with Albert Breer. That's still to come. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox hung on yesterday for a victory at Target Field in Minnesota. Dylan Cease had the start and allowed 3 runs, 1 earned as the Sox win 4-3. The Sox will take on the Twins tonight at 6:40. Lance Lynn's on the mound for the Sox against the Twins right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs also got a victory yesterday in walk-off fashion as Nico Hoerner came through, walked it off with a 10th inning single. They win 3-2 yesterday. Minnesota Timberwolves suspended Rudy Gobert for the first play-in tournament game. Also, the Rays became the 7th team in Major League Baseball history to start a season 10-0 yesterday to defeat the Red Sox by a score of 1-0. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Every Tuesday, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com. He joins us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Albert, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, Huddy, what's going on?
Hey, we're doing great, man. We want to get your thoughts. Let's start off with how we opened the show this morning, Cap, regarding the running back position.
So, Albert, good to talk with you. We were having this discussion about how people have started to super undervalue the position. So, I texted our friend John Yurkovich, who played 10 years in the league, and he and Carmen have this stance. They would never take a running back high in the draft. And I said, Yurko, Walter Payton and Barry Sanders are in this draft, and you know what their career arc is going to be. Hall of Fame. Would you take them? First, I said it number one overall, where the Bears used to be. He said, I wouldn't take either of those guys anywhere in the first round. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, first of all, Barry Sanders and Walter Payton might be playing different positions now, like, just based on the way the sport is. I think there's, like, a natural attrition from the running back position because of the economics of the sport. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, I mean, was Odell Beckham a running back 30 years ago? His dad was, you know? Like, so, like, somebody like that, like, you can look at certain guys at certain positions and say, that guy probably would have been a running back, you know, years and years and years ago. So I think the type of athlete that's playing that position isn't the same as it was before, which factors into all of this. Like Marshall Faulk, you know, is he a receiver if he's coming out of high school and going into college in 2023? Probably, right? And I think that's a big factor, you know. But I'm with you in that, like, I do think to some degree it's become devalued to the point where running backs can be a value. And here's what I mean. Like, and I did this in my column on Monday, so it's good timing from you guys. You look at Derrick Henry, still a really good player, right? No guaranteed money left on his deal. He did a new deal with the Titans. Nick Chubb did a new deal with the Browns. He's out of his guaranteed money, still a really good player. Joe Mixon, out of the guaranteed money on his deal. He's a really good player. Do you think the Bengals or Browns or Titans, like, regret those deals? Probably not, right? Now, you look at where those deals were. They were at about $12 million. Okay, like, that's how much Corey Davis got from the Jets in free agency as a receiver. It's how much Hunter Henry got as a tight end from the Patriots. As a tight end, like, I just, like, sort of look at this, and it's like, who would you rather have, Derrick Henry or Hunter Henry? Who would you rather have, Nick Chubb or Corey Davis? You know, like, I just think, like, to some degree, we've gone too far with some of this now. Like, I agree with most people who would say, like, you can be good at the position, like, pretty easily, right? Like, it's like you can find an Isaiah Pacheco down the line in the draft. So, like, that's part of the equation here. But if you can find a really great one, like a guy who's big enough to run between the tackles and to play on all three downs, you know, like your Joe Mixon, your Zeke Elliott in his prime, Saquon Barkley when he's healthy, Derrick Henry, you know, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, like. Those guys are still really valuable, you know, because you can build an offense around those guys, and those guys can be queens on the chessboard. So I'm with you. You know, I think, like, to some degree, I don't think people are creative enough when they're looking at that position. And, like, there's more nuance to it just than that position isn't what it once was. You know, like, I think there's a lot of different factors that go into how we should all look at it.
Albert, what is the latest with the Patriots and Mac Jones? Do you expect him to be the starter when the season starts?
Yeah, I think this is another example of, like, that Dov Kleiman guy getting a hold of one of my stories and, like, you know.
The aggregator.
Tweeting something.
If that guy even exists.
I mean, what I said, what I said in my column was that, like, Mac Jones lost support in the building last year, which is true. And I don't think that's really been disputed. There's no question, like, that he lost support in October, November, December. I know. I saw he tweeted something that made it sound like it just happened, which isn't true. Really, I think part of this is, you know, that Mac Jones has lost some standing in that building and lost that standing months ago. You know, so, like, when teams were making their calls and everybody's talking about everybody else's roster, like, Bill Belichick wasn't hanging up if somebody was asking, what about Mac Jones, you know? And that's a little unusual because even with some quarterbacks in other places that are in tenuous spots, like, I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback in Chicago for the next 10 years, but I don't think Ryan Poles was, you know, like, accepting trade calls on him. You know, I don't think that the Dolphins, you know that Tua is going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years, but I don't think Chris Greer was sitting there taking calls on him. The fact that Bill took calls on Mac Jones makes this one a little bit different. And so do I think they're going to trade him? No. Like, I think he's their best option for this year. But I do think to some degree they're finding different ways to push him, and they don't view him as untouchable. And they're trying to, you know, look at every way they can to solve that position for the next 10 years. And they don't know that answer is going to be Mac Jones. And so I think that's sort of where they're at right now. And, I think, you know, there's a lot on Bill O'Brien now coming over from Alabama to be the Patriots offensive coordinator to get Mac Jones right. And, we'll see whether or not he can do it. But there's obviously a lot on the line for Mac Jones this year. And I think, like, even for Bill Belichick, like, the way that we sort of look at his future in New England, a lot of that's tied up in what happens at the quarterback position. And obviously Mac Jones is part of the equation.
So the Bears are bringing in a ton of really accomplished offensive linemen for interviews. I'm hearing they really like Darnell Wright from the University of Tennessee. Do you think he's a guy that would go as high as 9? What do you really think today Chicago's doing?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to the tackles, like, there's a lot of disagreement. There's no Trent Williams this year where everybody's like lock, stock, and barrel. Yeah, that guy's going to be a starting left tackle in the league for 10 years. Plug him in, no problem. You know what I mean? Like, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl. There's not that guy. So you're dealing with, like, a bunch of different cases. So with Peter Skoronski, the question is he a guard or a tackle? I think there are a lot of teams that look at him as a guard. I think he could be Zach Martin as a guard, and that he's not a tackle. So if he's a guard and not a tackle, do you take him in the top 10, or do you view him as a tackle? Paris Johnson, like, I think he's got – I mean, he looks like he was built in a lab to play left tackle, but he's still got a little ways to go from a strength standpoint. So – can you bet on the come with Paris Johnson? Darnell Wright, there's a lot to like about Darnell Wright, but he played right tackle at Tennessee, struggled when he had to play left tackle. Can he play left tackle? And if he can't, sort of the same argument you have with Skoronski, if you view him as a right tackle, is he a value in the top 10? So, like, I think that's sort of the way you're looking at those guys. With each of them, there's sort of a question, and it's, you know, how do you get your head around that question 5 years from now? Do you see Skoronski playing guard or tackle? Do you see Paris Johnson getting stronger and evolving into a top five left tackle? Do you see Darnell Wright as capable of playing left tackle, or is he strictly a right tackle? Those are the questions I'm sure the Bears are asking, like everybody else right now.
So if OBJ goes to the Ravens, that means blank.
That means they paid him $15 million. That's what that means. I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, like, was it like eBay where there was like the buy now thing? Like, you get those auction sites, there was like that buy now option, mm-hmm. right? Like, where, like, instead of getting into a bidding war, you could just take the thing off the market at the time. Like, I sort of feel like that's the way this one went. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. where, you know, it was, can we take him off the market right now before he goes to the Jets? Well, $15 million was the price. You know, and so that's what the Ravens did. They spent the buy now price to get him off the market to keep him from getting on a plane and going and visiting with the Jets. Now, do I think that look that Odell thinks that Lamar's going to be his quarterback? Sure. Do I think it helps that Odell is there as far as making things work with Lamar? Sure. Do I think part of the reason the Ravens did this was because they felt like it would be an olive branch to Lamar? Sure. That doesn't mean that this 2-year dispute over how they pay Lamar is solved, or that it's going to get solved, but I do think that it helps. And so I think primarily, Odell's there because the Ravens hit that button to press the buy now, to pay the net buy now price. But I certainly think it can help in the Lamar situation.
Go ahead.
In terms of Greg Newsom, I'm seeing this morning from your friend Dove Kleiman, who I still don't believe he exists.
He hates Dove Kleiman.
Is saying that
should we all unfollow him now simultaneously?
That's it.
Didn't we party with him in Indianapolis? Wasn't he there at the combine? No, Dove Kleiman.
Yeah, he was
no.
The invisible man at our table.
Exactly at St. Elmo. Reportedly, he wants to be traded away from the Browns. Your thoughts on him? The Bears need a corner. They got 10 draft picks. Would he be someone worth targeting? He's a Northwestern kid, I believe.
Yeah. And he's obviously got some potential. Now, I hadn't seen that. That's interesting. I think it's one of those, Cap, where you go back to your draft evaluation. I don't know that he's necessarily lived up to, but he's a good player. I don't know if he's lived up to where he was drafted yet. But he had, a good reputation character-wise and everything else, and certainly has physical ability. I sort of wonder if part of that is the Browns have already paid Denzel Ward, and maybe, he sees the writing on the wall with a few things and knows his next contract isn't going to come from the team that he's on, and they've got some decisions to make on him, coming with the fifth-year option and everything else. Maybe it sort of relates to all of that, but... I don't think that, and that's, I think, still a year off, right? Because I believe he was a 2021 draft pick. That'd be something if I were the Bears that I would kick the tires on. They invested a high pick in Kyler Gordon last year. They've got Jaquan Brisker to anchor their secondary. So, I think it's something you could definitely look at. Maybe you own him as a distressed asset. You go back and look at how you looked at him coming out. And you see him as somebody who can kind of fit what you do draft-wise. Now, I would say, if you look at if you look at Matt Eberflus's history, and you guys remember a year ago we did this with Roquan Smith and whether or not he'd sign a long-term deal. I do think if you look at Eberflus's history, it's never been to invest that heavily in corners, but I think he's somebody who could fit.
As always, Albert, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're the best.
Albert Breer with us from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Support Albert because he supports us with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Coming up next, what is an eggplant deformity? Eggplant deformity.
Wow.
We'll get to that. And also, the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cuts.
Steakhouse. All right, Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Shay, you are correct. Last night saw the latest edition of Succession. Saw that. Is an incredible hour of television.
It might be the best acting I've ever seen on TV. It was unreal.
Don't want to spoil it for anybody because some people might be behind, but Shay and I are caught up, and it is an amazing show. We'll hear from Greeny coming up at the top of the hour right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Some thoughts about eggplant deformity. How a man suffered an eggplant deformity. Here's Shay Norley.
This headline from the New York Post: man breaks penis performing world's most dangerous sex position.
All right. And that would be?
I'm not sure I can actually say it, so I'm going to have to describe it a little bit.
Unless you're dropping an F-bomb, why can't you say it?
Jay Moore, you say it.
Jay Moore?
No.
No! It involves a girl in a reverse position, is what I will say.
Reverse cowgirl.
All right, there we go. That's fantastic.
Okay, what's so awful about that?
It's just something about it feels a bit much. I don't know what it is.
No. If we're going to go down this road, and it's scheduled on our format here, it says eggplant deformity. Okay? Ow! Damn it.
It just crossed my face.
My God, she must have been thick. Nonetheless, when you do this, Cav, when we do this, Shay, you have to go all the way in. So tell us more about this reverse cowgirl.
All right. Here you go.
Did you say go all the way in?
Yes, exactly.
Well, to the back.
That's the best way. And clearly not all the way in because...
Well, you want to be careful.
There's a deformity there.
The freak accident occurred while the unnamed 37-year-old male was reportedly having sex in the, quote, reverse cowgirl position. According to Dr. Karam Raj... This is the world's most dangerous pleasure pose, responsible for a whopping 50% of fractures. Ooh, enough with the sound.
God.
That's making me hurt.
Wow.
Oh, man. I never had a problem there.
Thank you? God I have not.
No.
This is almost like, Waddle says it all the time. You go see, like, men's basketball, adult, like, they're at the gym, and you see your buddy go up for a rebound, and he comes down, and his leg is gone. This is like, and then you don't want to play men's basketball anymore. You're like, I'm never getting out on the court again.
I gave that up.
Hearing this, honey, we're only doing it the front way from now on.
The front way.
Now, do they have a cast for this?
Oh, God.
Nothing like...
Is that a cast, or are you just happy to see me?
Hey, nothing like a penis cast.
Things went south after the man suddenly heard a loud cracking sound, followed by pain, discomfort, and immediate loss of erection.
Boom! Yeah.
Look, the reverse, if that's your thing, just be careful.
Now time for the Cap'n Jay Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It's Tuesday. I think I'm going to recommend to you, why don't you just go over there and pick up dessert, take it home, maybe get a burger to take with you. But the dessert, mint Oreo ice cream pie, or their carrot cake's insane.
Yo. Ow.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
A picture of an animal, quite literally just mystery animal, nobody knows what.
Yeah.
In the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, has left Texas park officials and the general public stumped. Officials with the Benson Rio Grande Valley State Park with Texas Parks and Wildlife sought social media users' help when they posted a photo of a strange-looking and not easily identifiable animal on the park's Facebook page last week. I've posted this photo on the ESPN 1000 Twitter account, at ESPN 1000. We need to enlist some help here. It is furry, short, stout, four legs. Looks kind of like a giant mole rat. The mouth open. And that thing's got the sharpest teeth I've ever seen. It's like a shark on land.
So if I walked up to it, what's up there, little badger? It wouldn't end well for me, huh?
Yeah. See you later.
That'd be the end. Now, Jay Moore, I would say, looking at this thing, I mean, again, if you can't identify it, that's an issue.
If it's in the wrong place, it's going to be grilled.
It's going to be in someone's backyard.
Right. Body's dinner.
That's so disgusting.
What if he was in the draft and you get him at tailback?
It's all good. Now I'm taking him.
Yurko's taking him number one.
Because the intangibles are, he's got four legs. So he's actually even faster.
Follow me. I got this.
Here we go, coach. I got you.
4th and 16. Don't worry about it. Go for it. I got this. Yeah.
There'll be wide open gaps.
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap'n Jay Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, my favorite restaurant in the world.
All of our guests on Cap'n Jay Hood are brought to you by the CarX and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
All right, my friend. At least we were able to learn something today. You know, my dad said, always try to learn something every day.
Did he tell you that on AI or back when he was with you?
The one he's with me, yes. Yeah. I will not want the creepy Bob Hood. I'd rather just I'd just rather have the guy. Here we go, Cap. Summer.
Whoa.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes, sir, doctor.
Look at that, Mrs. Carcino.
we learned today what an eggplant deformity is.
Yes.
Yep.
by the way, at the bottom of the article, it did say that doctors checked up on him a couple weeks later, and his penis is A-OK. I just want to make sure everybody's clear.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
So a couple weeks rest.
It's a matter of opinion whether or not it's A-OK or not.
They didn't give an opinion. They just said medically he's fine.
That sound effect Jaymore plays is not good.
Eggplant deformity is medical parlance, too.
Thank you for twitching. Thanks for calling and listening to our program here on ESPN 1000. Cap, how about we do this tomorrow at 7?
Rock and roll, baby. Love being with you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Jay Moore. Thank you, Shay. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.